this little homily is especially welcoming to people new to Unitarian Universalism, to visitors, to learn about what is important for us as a community. As Unitarian Universalists, we are on a continuous journey towards becoming our best selves, a search for truth and meaning, the ongoing creation and reimagining of our internal, emotional, and moral landscapes, as well as the ways we interact with the world, a world which demands that we answer the call of love, that we build the beloved community, and that we bring healing wherever and whenever we bear witness to injustice, to oppression, to suffering. We are a liberal religion, a faith tradition rooted in liberation from tyranny, from both civil and religious institutions alike. The founders of our Unitarian faith raised their voices against ignorance and in favor of freedom of religion, the freedom to choose, to doubt, to depart from dogma that kept people prisoners of guilt, shame, and fear, the freedom and the courage to express new ideas that contradicted the theology of the times, often paying with their own lives. Unitarianism grew out of answering the call of love, the call of justice, the call of liberation and reason. This was not exclusively an intellectual struggle. People had to wrestle with their beliefs, those beliefs that had been instilled with them forever. They had to wrestle with their notions of the divine, their entire faith foundation and their understanding of God and the Bible, while retaining the faith, but having the courage to have a different understanding of Jesus as human and not part of the Holy Trinity. Jesus as teacher and moral compass to guide us. Likewise, our Universalist ancestors challenged the notion of eternal damnation and believed in universal salvation. They did not believe that only a small number of people would be saved. Influenced by the Enlightenment that revolutionized ideas about God, nature, and the human condition, Universalists believe that God was, is, a loving and merciful God, akin to a loving parent who would be incapable of sentencing his children to an afterlife of perpetual punishment. As Unitarian Universalists, we have historically embraced both the belief in God and that humans were created in the image of God, and we have also embraced reason, the belief that our human nature holds the potential for transformation, for ongoing revelation, and that our capacity to reason calls us to examine and re-examine, to question, to search, to defend the freedom to fashion a liberal faith that makes room for choice and that reflects our yearnings. When asked to define Unitarians and Universalists, Thomas Starr King is believed to have responded with, "The Universalists think God is too good to damn them forever. The Unitarians think they are too good to be damned forever." Very humble. So we come from a long line of heretics, dissenters, nonconformists, refusing to accept religious dogma as prescribed by the institutionalized church. And we would not be doing justice to this legacy if we only understand it as an intellectual movement. Spirit has always been the common thread. This thread has been woven into our history, which brings us to the question of social justice versus spirituality. Is there a distinction? Are they so different? Do they oppose each other? Are they interwoven, and can they exist one without the other? What do we understand as spiritual? I think we each have different ideas. Usually when we have to define what UUism is, we find more negatives. We're not this, we're not that, instead of this is who we are, because we understand that we are multicultural and theologically diverse. There is no one way of being religious or spiritual. How do we understand social justice? Is it just something to keep us occupied, to make us feel good, to get rid of the guilt? I grew up in the Catholic Church in a small town in Chile, a church which was part of a theological revolution, liberation theology. This theology saw Jesus as human, on the side of the poor and suffering. Jesus as part of the masses who demanded justice, equality, bread, and liberation from oppression. For us to be on the side of the poor and suffering was to be on the side of love. Liberation theology's option for the poor reflects the love of that human Christ, the persecuted Christ, the unjustly executed Christ, which reflected the reality of most of the people in my country, the people who were hungry, homeless, in prison, and crucified every day for being who they were. Liberation theology was coming in close proximity with suffering and being open and willing to be transformed by love. Liberation theology cannot be simply an intellectual exercise. It requires action, loving action. We are obliged to promote social justice as an act of faith, as part of our spirituality. So I'll pause here and just think about how similar my upbringing in that little Catholic church seems to today's Unitarian Universalist churches where I have served. Not very different. Social justice within a liberation theology framework also requires us to go beyond the march or raising our fists against injustice. It is engaging our whole beings, building interdependent beloved communities, building a network of mutuality where hope can resurrect, where dignity can be restored, where our humanity is lifted up by lifting others up, where the marginalized matter, and together we become agents of liberation, a state of enlightenment that restores and heals through music, prayer, art, nature, dance, planting a garden in community, and answering the call of love through our social justice ministries right here at East Shore. I can't speak for all of the social justice ministry teams, but I'm guessing that if we asked why they do what they do, they would not respond with a simple, because it's the reasonable or intellectual savvy thing to do. They, like me, would speak of love, of human connection, of experiencing something akin to a mystical experience that doesn't have words, a stirring within, a feeling hard to put into words whenever we connect and engage in the work of healing the world, because I think part of that stirring, part of that experience is that we feel that in healing the world, we are healing ourselves. When we connect, when we engage in social justice, it is very much like a spiritual practice. Becoming mindful, being in the moment, showing up, deeply listening, following the cues of our leaders, lifting someone up from despair, working together to amplify a message of hope and liberation, because we truly believe that our liberation is bound up with everyone's liberation, and that no one is free until everyone is free. Whether we replenish our energies and nourish our souls by reading biblical passages or the poetry of Mary Oliver or being in nature, the important thing is that we keep coming back to the work, to that breath, to that mindfulness, that we don't allow ourselves to make artificial distinctions between social justice and what is spiritual. If we can widen our vision and use a more inclusive lens of what social justice and spirituality mean, we can experience a dynamic movement, one feeding the other, one giving meaning to the other, integrating our seemingly disparate practices. Sometimes when we have a particular idea or a set of expectations of what a spiritual experience should look, sound, or feel like, we might set ourselves up for disappointment. Being Unitarian Universalist means that we embrace a multicultural and theologically diverse way of being, a faith tradition that has multiple sources of inspiration, a history of being both and, a challenge to become more and more inclusive and to do our heretical ancestors proud by continuously questioning the status quo and dismantling systems of oppression together in community. Being Unitarian Universalist means that we are willing to coexist and not just tolerate each other, but celebrate and lift up different ways of expressing our religious and spiritual beliefs. This too is social justice, to sit next to somebody who would find solace, a renewed sense of hope, and a renewed faith when singing Amazing Grace or There's a Balm in Gilead. And then the next week, to sit next to someone whose theology emanates directly from the mycelium networks that are healing the world. And then for us to be the ones who choose to believe in the best that our sources have to offer, to delight and derive inspiration from biblical passages that reveal women's wisdom, to sing songs of protest, and to share a communion that acknowledges our infinite potential as co-creators and stewards of this hurting world. After I left Chile, I was unchurched for a long time. The Catholic Church here in the United States was very different from mine. While they offered some opportunities to serve the poor, it looked and felt more like charity than solidarity. Needless to say, the Catholic Church's stance on women's reproductive rights and LGBTQ rights, especially during the AIDS pandemic, was not something that inspired me or nourished my soul. So I took refuge in social justice as my church. Devoid, I thought, of any sense of spirituality, driven by my moral obligation only. And then I went to law school to become an advocate, only to discover that it was precisely in the prisons that I visited, in the AIDS hospices where I spent my days, in the streets of New York City and later the streets of Boston, that I found my calling to the ministry, because all of that social justice opened my spirit up in a way that I still can't find words to describe. So, finding my calling to the ministry, I visit a Unitarian Universalist church where a lesbian minister from the pulpit invited us to be in solidarity with people living with HIV/AIDS. To join in solidarity with the people of Puerto Rico struggling to get the U.S. Navy out of Vieques, to fight for marriage equality, to provide Friday night suppers to anyone in need, and to renew our energies by practicing Thich Nhat Hanh's mindfulness or singing in the choir. From that moment, for me, social justice and spirituality were no longer separate things. Worship and service within a Unitarian Universalist community was liberation theology at its best. From author and activist Joanna Macy, I have learned that the spiritual practice of environmental awareness and honoring the pain of the world offers us a wider sense of self, a richer experience in community, and the strength of what she calls active hope. She writes that active hope is not just wishful thinking, but something we do in community. We do rather than have. It involves being clear about what we hope for and then playing our role in the process of moving in that direction in these times that she calls the great turning. She teaches us that the journey of finding and offering our unique contribution to the healing of the world in this time helps us to discover new strengths within ourselves, to be open to a wider network of allies, and to experience a deepening of our own aliveness. She says that when our responses are guided by the intention to act for the healing of our world, the mess we're in not only becomes easier to face, but our lives also become more meaningful and satisfying. Our Sunday worship services are carefully, intentionally, and lovingly created to offer us the opportunities to nourish our spirits, to put our burdens down, to find inspiration, to connect to a loving community, to bear witness to the power of collective action, including prayer and music and meaningful reflections from a variety of sources. This is where we get to co-create active hope, building the beloved community and reaffirming our commitment to healing our world. When we expand our understanding of activism and of spirituality, we can feel a deeper connection to our best selves and derive a greater sense of hope in the face of injustice and despair. These days, I'm reading several books at once and rereading some of them, like A Fire at the Center, Solidarity, Whiteness, and Becoming a Water Protector by Reverend Karen Van Fossen. Linda Haupt's Lives at the Crossroads of Science, Nature, and Spirit. Victoria Lourdes's Church of the Wild, How Nature Invites Us into the Sacred. Dorcas Cheng Tozoon's Social Justice for the Sensitive Soul, How to Change the World in Quiet Ways. And of course, rereading Robert Wall Kimmerer's books, Braiding Sweetgrass and Gathering Moss. These books for me are all testaments of the presence of the divine in prayer, in plants, in tree bark, in science, in stardust and moss, in the mystery of the universe, in our human connections, and the interbeing of us all. And you, yes, you, here and at home, you are testaments and sources of inspiration, reaffirming that our social justice actions to protect Mother Earth, to amplify the voices of all suffering beings, are also spiritual practices. It is in the act of weaving or braiding that we experience the web of life of which we are all a part, the deep connection rooted in the ancient practice of being human and curious and needing one another to become our best selves and to give the best of ourselves to a hurting world. When we gather to worship, to meditate, to plant a garden, to sing, to be in nature, to make sandwiches, to make art, to show up in solidarity with our indigenous neighbors, to march in solidarity with our LGBTQIA plus siblings. Our spirits feel it. There is a stirring deep within us. We are embodying and expressing our deepest common bond as humans when we express that we need one another. We need to experience giving and receiving love. So, beloveds, may we, like our Unitarian Universalist heretical ancestors, forge new paths and dismantle systems of oppression while answering the call of love to restore hope and to bring healing to this broken world. We need not think alike, but we do need to love alike, to love justice, to love freedom, to love our neighbor, to love nature, to love beyond categories or labels, to love the song, if only because it makes someone else feel seen and heard and held, embraced, restored, whole and free.